If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace. To nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
We heard you. 9 years of Bring Back the Snack Wrap and you've won. But maybe you should have asked for more. Say hello to the Hot Honey Snack Wrap. Now you've really won. Go to McDonald's and get it while you can.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns. And today on the show, it's the State of Every Real Housewives franchise, our quarterly episode. This time it's with Alec Karam, who is a return guest, who is a writer for The Daily Beast. He recaps a lot of the shows. He writes different features about Bravo shows. He's kind of a Real Housewives savant, in my opinion. He has such incredible knowledge about all of it and such great opinions, and he's very steadfast in his opinions. And in our conversation today about all 8 of the current Real Housewives franchises, we differed on several things, and I think it provided for a really good conversation. We went extra long, like almost an hour and a half, so definitely a treat for you guys today. But before we get to that, really quickly, because I'm recording this late at night before my early morning Thursday flight to Tulum, I have a bachelorette party this weekend, so please pray for me. I've never been to Tulum. There's a packed itinerary. It's going to be very fun, but no complaints here. Just I'm buckling up, and I'm also recording this a day early before I travel. And also, before I also get to the big announcement from this week, is on Tuesday, I will do a mailbag episode. I haven't done one of those in several weeks now. So submit your questions via DM on Instagram, on the @GabbingWithGib account, or my personal account @GibSonoma. I will also have submission boxes there, I think, on Friday. I will also tweet out and thread out and blue sky out prompts that you can reply to submit questions, anything that you can think about from the currently airing shows. So like The Valley, Summer House, Real Housewives of Atlanta, even Top Chef, Love Hotel. Am I missing something? Any of the currently airing shows, you know, any other Bravo shows, any other reality TV, pop culture in general. Also, if there's anything that I haven't touched on, chatting about any of the shows that you've been dying for me to talk about, now's your time to ask those questions. So submit them there. And also, if there's something you're wondering about the big announcement that we got out of the blue on Wednesday from Bravo, which is that we're getting 4 new Bravo shows coming up, which was, you know, I think individually, a lot of people have heard different rumors and rumblings and things about each of these shows. But I don't think anybody was expecting Bravo to make this announcement at this time altogether. There was really no lead up, and it was such a pleasant, kind of overwhelming, overstimulating surprise. But again, beggars can't be choosers, and I'm very happy with the news that we got on Wednesday, which is that we are getting four new shows, one of which is Wife Swap, Real Housewives Edition, which is, you know, I think it's going to basically be the format of Wife Swap from back in the day in the early 2000s on broadcast TV, which was like two families switched moms or wives for a week and saw how it played out, which I think is a really fun cross-franchise opportunity. I think it might break the fourth wall a little bit. It's kind of in the same vein as Love Hotel and just like kind of getting women from different shows to commingle and to feature them in different ways. I think it's also a really exciting opportunity to be to feature housewives who are not currently airing on Bravo, whether that's some of the Jersey women, whether that's some of the New York women, whether that's other favorites that are just not on their franchises anymore. A really great play by Bravo to keep some of the legacy talent in the fold too. So I'm really excited about that. Just the possibilities are kind of endless there, just like they are for Love Hotel, which I'm loving. The second one is a Ladies of London reboot, which another one that was whispered about, but also confusing because we are getting Real Housewives of London, which is going to be produced by Hey You, which is the international streamer for Bravo shows. So, you know, we've had other international franchises of Housewives that never aired on Bravo. But I think with Real Housewives of London, because Andy and other Bravo talent were at Hey You Fan Fest last fall when this was announced, it kind of felt like it was closer to the sort of mothership, you know what I mean? Like it kind of felt like almost endorsed by Bravo in a way. And so there was a big question mark. Okay, like is Real Housewives of London going to air on Bravo or maybe on Peacock? And that's still obviously a semi-possibility, but I think the news that we're getting a Ladies of London reboot kind of nips the Bravo possibility in the butt. Like there's no way they can have the two London shows coexisting in that universe. So, and also it's like it's drawing from the same pool of potential casting, in my opinion. Like Ladies of London was essentially Real Housewives. So that's really interesting. And it's supposedly going to be an all new cast. Kate Arthur at Variety confirmed some of these question marks. She confirmed that there's likely not going to be returning people to Ladies of London from that original cast, which was an amazing cast. One of my favorite Bravo shows ever, Ladies of London. Three great seasons of that show. Go back and watch it if you have not already. It's really a fantastic watch. And they did a really good job of casting that show. And I also think it's interesting that that Bravo would announce Ladies of London with the Real Housewives of London, you know, in development or production over with Hey You, just because like it feels a little bit confusing for fans, perhaps a little shady. I'm not sure. Like, I think that's, I'm trying to figure out how I'm reading that one. The other new show is The Valley Persian Style, which is essentially a Shaws of Sunset reboot, but like in the vein of The Valley, I guess, which is just sort of like a follow-up with some of the original people, Reza, Gigi, and MJ, which I think people are really excited about getting those people returning. They have been together a lot at Bravo events. They've been teasing things. So that's nice to have that confirmed and sort of know what to expect there. I suspect that they will sort of round out that cast a la The Valley, like they did around Brittany, Jackson, Kristen, with new people who are actually in their lives and part of their organic friend group. So that's exciting just to get, again, some more legacy talent back into the fold. I think it's a big win for them. And then the last show is we are getting a new Real Housewives franchise, Real Housewives of Rhode Island, which had been rumored, seems random, but I think, you know, some of the best Housewives franchises have been, you know, fairly random. Like I think Salt Lake City was kind of a left field choice when it was announced at this point 6 years ago. I think obviously Real Housewives of Potomac was very much unexpected when they announced it. So they've had some unexpected ones over the years. And I think that like they canceled Real Housewives of Dubai last year after two seasons, which, you know, I would have liked to see them get a third season, but I was not heartbroken over that. The idea of getting a new Real Housewives franchise is always exciting. It does not happen every day. It does not happen every year. It doesn't even happen every other year. It happens pretty rarely at this point. So they have to feel pretty confident and in sort of the direction of the casting and development and potential already filming of this show to go forward with this as a Housewives branded show. So that I think it's a really big vote of confidence in whatever they're developing up there. The rumors are that this was supposed to actually, I'm not going to get into it because Alec and I talk a lot about Real Housewives of Rhode Island at the top of our conversation. So I'm not going to share my thoughts on that. I'm just going to say I'm really excited about the fact that we have a new Housewives franchise on the block. And I suspect, as I tell Alec in our conversation, that we'll get more news I would suspect they'd make some sort of big splashy announcement at BravoCon about this. The last thing I'll say is that part of this announcement, which is Bravo really makes this every year around this time, tied to upfronts for advertisers to kind of show off their new slate of programming. They always sort of confirm also which shows are returning and which shows are, you know, already filming and that kind of stuff. And if you're a fan that pays close attention, you already know a lot of this. But, you know, they listed pretty much every show in this press release that was either, again, confirmed for a new season, picked up, filming already, already airing. But the two Housewives franchises that were conspicuously absent from this announcement were The Real Housewives of New Jersey, which really should not come as a surprise to anybody. I suspect that whenever that news does come, and I suspect it will come at some point, I think that it will be its own announcement. I think that is individually, people are really looking forward to whatever that ends up being. Even maybe they even wait for BravoCon for that, honestly. But I suspect that's a totally separate announcement. And the other one that it was left off the list was Real Housewives of New York, which I think was a big surprise. I don't, again, them being left off the list does not mean they're canceled. It just means that they're taking extra time, which we already knew for Jersey, but I think was a little bit more of a surprise for New York, to figure out the casting, the direction, the production decisions, yada, yada, yada. That's usually what that signifies. Because again, Bravo makes this announcement every single year. So, but that was interesting. So we'll clearly have to wait a lot longer for those two shows. Trying to think if there's anything else. Yeah, no, those are my thoughts on the new shows. Again, you'll get a lot more of Real Housewives of Rhode Island in this upcoming chat. So keep listening for my chat with Alec Karam from The Daily Beast. Make sure to submit your questions for Tuesday's mailbag episode on DM, on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, et cetera, et cetera. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you next week. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Alec Karam from The Daily Beast, a return guest. He's here for our quarterly State of Every Real Housewives franchise episode, where we touch down on each of the 8 and soon to be 9 current Real Housewives franchises to examine where they are, what we like, what we don't like, what we'd like to see, what we're hearing. Alec, thanks for hopping on. How are you?
I'm great. As you mentioned, soon to be 9, so I'm kind of buzzing right now.
Happy Real Housewives of Rhode Island Day to all who celebrate.
And it's such a day. I'm so excited.
What was your reaction, gut reaction to when we got that news today?
So I just gasped really loudly and put the fear of a lot of things into my mother and grandma. I'm really excited. I mean, we've been hearing, you know, the streets have been saying Rhode Island is coming for a while now. But you hear that about a lot of franchises, so I'm never sure. I did think this one was going to be real, so I'm really excited. I didn't think they were going to announce a franchise on a random day in May. I guess it's upfronts week, but that's so rare.
Bravo tends to do this big announcement around this time of year every year, tied to the upfronts. But I feel like upfronts are less of a big deal than they used to be. So yeah, it's a bit of a retro move.
I thought that they would save any kind of announcement for BravoCon, but I'm really excited. I've never been to Rhode Island, like most of America, but I'm really excited to learn what's going on there.
Well, I'm going to read part of the description for the show. So, because we didn't get any sort of casting news, but we did get that it is a franchise that expands into the world of a tight-knit circle of Rhode Islanders who have deep community roots and families that go back generations. So for me, they're mentioning families, they're mentioning deep roots. To me, it's kind of giving, we're trying to scratch the same itch as Jersey. Apparently, Rhode Island has a big Italian population. So like, I think that's kind of what they're going for here, potentially.
100%. I mean, like when you said 8 soon to be 9 franchises, I'm like, might be 9 soon to be 8. I don't want to like get into it before we really talk about Jersey, but I don't think those two are meant to coexist is what I'll say.
Got it. All right. Yeah. So I mean, and there was this one last thing I'll say about this before we jump into what we actually know. There was this TikTok that I saw making the rounds of this woman who's like, must live in Rhode Island because she knew like 5 or 6 people who had been scouted for this production, which apparently started as like wanting to be a Southern Charm style show in Providence. And then it evolved into being a more Real Housewives Jersey adjacent type show in her mind, because she said she knows somebody who did film a lot for this. In her mind, she kind of is that sort of Italian vibe.
Yeah. So I have a friend from Rhode Island. She doesn't live there anymore. She lives in Chicago like me. And I texted her this news today because I've talked to her before. I was like, what are your boots on the ground saying? And she was basically telling me that she's shocked because she's been hearing for years. Because, I mean, Rhode Island's not that big. Locals, you know, everyone kind of knows everyone. She was like, I've been hearing for years that they've been filming something, but it never gets off the ground. So I think they must have been trying for a while. I'm really glad it's not some Southern Charm style show. I don't need another co-ed show on Bravo. I love that it's a housewife show. And I'm really excited for that. So I think it'll be interesting to see what actually is going on in New England. That's a new territory for Bravo.
Yeah. And I feel like if your friend was saying for years, like, that to me actually gives me a lot of hope for this, because it means that like they saw something in the casting potential of this enclave of people that was promising. So
take it with a grain of salt, because I don't know if that's gospel, but I do believe that they've probably been trying. I mean, we know that Salt Lake City took forever to get off the ground. They filmed like months that we didn't even see.
Right.
So I wouldn't be shocked if that locals are... I'm sure they've gone through a lot of rounds of things.
Totally.
And I landed on a really great group of crazy women. I don't want to see any normal people on my screen ever again. Like, they better be insane people. People better be on Reddit within the next 3 days being like, I know her and she's evil.
The one rumored person, or I think there's two. I think one rumor is that one of them is a Culpo, who was Olivia Culpo and her sisters. Like, I don't know which one. I don't really know I'm not familiar with that. I'm not super familiar with the Culpo lore, but the other person is Ashley I, who is from the Bachelor Nation.
Oh, well,
and she is married to somebody who was also on The Bachelorette, I think. I forget. It was from like sort of the glory days of The Bachelor world.
Oh, yeah. I watched it at that point. They were both on the show, and they were on like 3 seasons of Paradise. So that would be interesting. I guess that second batch nation person after Jasmine, who's on the Valley, because she was on there too. I guess that would be interesting. I'm excited to hear more. I think it's interesting that they announced it without announcing a cast or a release date or anything like that. But if I had to imagine, I feel like it will be premiering this year. I don't know. So we'll see. Because when they announced Salt Lake City, I think that was like at BravoCon, like maybe a full year before it premiered.
Yeah, there was no casting announcement at that. That was 2019 fall, and it came out in the fall of 2020.
And then with Roni, we got the full cast announcement, which ended up shooting them in the foot because one of those people didn't even make it on the cast. So I think, and they did that for Atlanta too, and then, you know, Kenya. So I wonder if they've learned their lesson with pre-announcing the cast, because I think that's just a way to jinx things. Let's let these people have the fear of God the whole filming season. I don't know if Dove or edited down to 3 seconds in the background, one confessional if I'm lucky.
My hunch is that we get at BravoCon the cast unveiling the trailer. That's what my guess is.
Yeah, or even maybe they air the pilot at the... I agree though. I think it won't premiere before BravoCon. They were going to want to use that as a sounding board, and I think that is really exciting. I'm just so excited about it.
Me too.
Love the idea of more Housewives franchises. I don't really buy into the doom and gloom about things, and I'm excited to see that one. I really hope that the rumors about more are true too. I live in Chicago. I need the Chicago thing to be true, but you know.
Well, maybe that's if Jersey does go the way you think it's going. Then the last thing I'll say is that there was the announcement in the fall about the Real Housewives of London, but that, for people listening who aren't aware, that is a Hey You show. So that was that's the sort of international streamer of Bravo shows, and they're producing that. And Ladies of London reboot is obviously coming. That was part of today's announcement. Those are two separate projects completely. And I think that Bravo announcing Ladies of London when Real Housewives of London is already in production or you know, casting, that to me says Real Housewives of London is not going to be associated with Bravo kind of like in any big way at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a little interesting. I don't know a lot about the international dynamics of how these things go, because my understanding of Hey You is that it's just, you know, the international distributor. So I assume they have a good relationship with them, but it does kind of feel
weird.
A little shitty.
I agree.
I
loved Ladies of London. That was one of my favorite shows.
I have never watched it, and I'm excited to. Well, you know what? I was busy.
Let me just say, it's 3 seasons. three great seasons with a really good cast.
I think I will probably give it a go now. I love to catch up on the old ones. Like the one season of DC looks on an infamy for me. I think that's a great season of television.
Me too.
I do think Ladies of London is exciting. And I think that maybe Caroline Stanbury is going to fly back there. I'm like, I feel bad for her. Wherever she goes, it gets canceled. But I love her. It's not her fault.
I love her too. And if you love her, like you'll love her on Ladies of London. And it's like she did this whole house. She got the new face, all to not be on TV anymore. That's not right.
It's just the cruel world we live in.
It really is. It's not right.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into the Housewives franchises that we do have. There's only one currently airing. We have The Real Housewives of Atlanta. How are you feeling about this season so far and sort of the state of the show?
I have a lot of mixed feelings. So the premiere I thought was god awful, if I'm being honest. I just didn't like it. And the editing was so whiplashy. I think reboots are tough. And so even though I hated the premiere, well, hate's a strong word, but I did not like it. I was like, you know, let me see how this goes. I feel like it's been up and down. Some episodes I think have been really strong and some of them I feel have been boring. But I have a lot of thoughts about it, which is more than I can say for the last 2, 3, 4 years. I don't know. Atlanta makes me sad because it was so consistently good through season 9, I would say. And then from 10 to 15, it oscillated between boring, unwatchable, and just weird. And I think this season is a return to form in a lot of ways. So I want to give them props for that. I think casting did a great job. I'm obsessed with Angela. Mm-hmm. I think she's just phenomenal. I think she would have fit in the first season, fifth season. She's just the kind of cast where I'm like, I feel like you've always been here. Like a Dorinda or a Shannon or someone, you know, they just come into the cast and you're like, God, I feel like you should have always been here. So I'm really, really loving her. Shamia is full-time as Shamia. I think if you like Shamia, you're going to like Shamia. And I think she's boring, but in a way that's kind of comforting, like Eileen. But I kind of enjoy her as a neutral housewife, and I mean that. I'm not even being shady. I think she's a good boring. Sometimes you need a Cynthia. And I love Cynthia being back, too.
Yeah, I think Shamia, like, she plays the middle in a lot of the group dynamic, which I agree. I have no problem with. And I really like her, and I think I really like her for her personal storyline. And I like that, like, she has so much going on. She's very open about it. And maybe just because it was like kind of, I didn't realize she had so much going on in her life. That is sort of a pleasant surprise in that way. But I agree in the group dynamic. She's very much down the middle. But I appreciate her for what she brings for her personal storyline and just sort of connective tissue. Like, she genuinely feels connected to a lot of these people for me. And I'm happy she's there.
Yeah. Her personal storyline, so-so to me. But, you know, okay. I'm pretty picky about personal stories. Not everyone is going to have the most juicy year of their life. I don't really care about her singing career. I'm good without that.
I meant more the family stuff. I think the family
stuff. Yeah, that stuff is interesting. And it's just like, at the end of the day, we're getting to know these women. And truth be told, it's not like solo storylines have ever been. They always oscillate between boring and exciting because that's real, right?
Yeah.
And I think Atlanta's always done a good job of giving women solo storylines. So I am enjoying that. I honestly like everyone. The weakest link on the cast at the moment, if you ask me, is Portia. And that's not a huge surprise to me because I've never seen Portia as a leading lady. And I don't think that she has ever really shown herself to be someone who's willing to bear it all on screen. I mean, she quit the show the second her life got super interesting last time. But I don't despise Portia or anything. I think she's good. I think that editing has kind of realized postseason, okay, we can't put all our eggs in the Portia basket. So they've done a good job of kind of diminishing that, which I was worried they were going to lean too much on Portia. So I guess my thoughts on Atlanta are mixed. I'm leaning positive in some ways. I think it's heading in a good direction. Like, I think this season is rough by nature because this is a new cast. Kenya got fired 3 weeks in. So many things were working against it. And the fact that it's still kind of decent is a real testament to the fact that there's something there. So I like it. I like Kelly a lot. I think she's fun. I don't dislike Britt. I think there's a lot of negativity about her that seems a little unwarranted. I think that it's too extreme. I don't think she's super interesting or uninteresting. I think I want to see her continue to develop on the cast. And yeah, I think it's all been good. I'm kind of sad about the whole Kenya situation, but I also think that they made the right choice about that too.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they aired all of that. So I don't know. My thoughts on Atlanta have been kind of negative, but then I keep watching every week and having a decent time. So
yeah,
I've got more positive as the season goes on. And that's what I think about that. As far as Phaedra goes, I'm rambling a little. I'm not super excited about that because I'm not a huge Phaedra fan. And I think that they're kind of showing their hand, but it makes me feel like they weren't confident to be like, oh, Phaedra's coming back in the last five episodes. I'm like, honest to God, you should have held her for next season. Let these women be. Because it just looks desperate to me. And I don't think that's fair. I actually think they're turning out a solid season of television as far as things go. And I guess I would have liked to see this cast continue without that distraction of it's the last 3 weeks of filming and there's a new housewife and she's a big deal and she's in all of our promo materials now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's valid.
It feels like that whole Marvel movie Thunderbolt suddenly being like, we're the new Avengers. Like, okay.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about that. And so that's making me feel negative. But in the current moment, I feel okay about Atlanta.
Yeah, I really like Phaedra, so I am not mad about her coming. I totally hear that point, though, of like it kind of throwing the season for a loop, and it would have been a bigger splash to do it for next season. And yeah. I think with the Portia of it all, I'm definitely not as negative about her as the rest of the internet seems to be. I feel like and like I just don't agree with that. I think that I personally think that she's an undeniable star, but I also agree that she isn't necessarily the leading lady of a show. But like, that's not necessarily what she brings to the show. I laugh with Portia. I love her commentary. I love her in a group dynamic. But I think that she was supposed to have Kenya by her side to help like lead that, you know, and so that's where it went to shit. And that's part of why they bring Phaedra in probably. So it's like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I think the Portia of it all is complicated. She's not opening up enough. But ultimately, I think that like her return to the show is a success. And I don't think this season would have been a success. I consider the season a success, season 16 of Atlanta, because I think they did what needed to be done. They brought in new blood that's exciting. They kept some essential people. They brought some people back. And that's the recipe. And they'll fine tune it for next season. But ultimately, like, you're like the last couple seasons of Atlanta, like you said, like we're not good. And we were like trying to find like the silver lining of anything. And there really wasn't much to grasp at.
Yeah. And I think your perspective on Portia is a lot more like I totally see it. I think Portia is a housewife that if you liked what Portia brought in the past, I am a little confused why you wouldn't like her this season.
Yeah.
I've never been a huge Portia fan, so I'm not really disappointed. I'm like, this is Portia. I do think she's funny. I think she's got great charisma. Like on Watch What Happens Live, that's when Portia's like,
yeah,
oh, that's
she's so amazing funny. On Watch What Happens Live. Yeah,
I do feel she came back to the show in spite of the fact that she didn't want to. Like, I think she was like, my life is falling apart. I'm getting a divorce. I probably should get the check again. And I don't think she wanted to work for it, which I'm not saying in a hateful way. I'm just being honest. Like, I think we can tell she's not thrilled to be there and you can feel it. It is not dissimilar to me to like Heather Dubrow returning. I think people have such interesting expectations when a housewife returns. Oh, she's going to save the show. It's going to make everything different. But like, that's a lot to put on one person. And I mean, you remember how negative the reaction to Heather was. And now she found a really good place in the group again. So I think Portia can do that too. I think it was unfair of production to expect her to single-handedly carry the season if they expected that. So I wouldn't put that on Portia. She's always been a great comedic relief, and that's where she should shine.
Yeah.
Don't expect Portia to carry all your storylines because she'll drop them. And that's you. I think maybe this season they learned that. And I think next season, if she doesn't feel all that pressure, maybe we can laugh a little more with her.
Yeah, I don't think she will feel the pressure. I think that she'll feel after the season that she dodged the bullet of having to talk about Simon and all that kind of stuff. And then she'll be kind of relieved of that pressure next season. Phaedra will be there from episode one. Maybe they bring back somebody else as a friend of or something like that. And like, then we're good to go. But like, I'm really hopeful about the direction of the show and it makes me happy. Yeah. Even though it's not perfect, it's certainly not perfect. Like you, I'm enjoying it and I'm excited about some of these new faces. So.
No, totally. I think it's not going to happen overnight, but hopefully they can keep moving in a better direction.
Yeah. So let's move on to the show that is about to air. We got the trailer for The Real Housewives of Miami. Our long national nightmare is over. 15 months without Miami on air. It was prolonged. To me, the trailer didn't really give much drama to me. Like, it's a lot about the Alexia Todd stuff. It's a lot about Larsa and Marcus. And I'm there's like a slight worry that that's going to feel a little stale at this point to see that play out on TV, especially knowing that like Alexia and Todd are together. But ultimately, like, I will watch these women drink water at a table and like be entertained. Like, I don't know. How do you feel?
So I agree with you that the trailer did not give me a lot of things to grab onto, but I have no worries about the season.
Exactly.
I wouldn't say it was a bad trailer. I think they were leaning into things that I don't personally care about as much. Like, I don't really need lifestyle porn. I'm so happy that Miami is such a gorgeous place. But I want to see a trailer full of, like, I think the Salt Lake City team knows how to give you a drama. Mm-hmm. But I have no doubts that Miami's going to be great because, honestly, I have never disliked Miami. Original Miami, great. Reboot Miami has been great. It's been really consistent. And I'm just, like, for example, we know Adriana has a big role in the drama, but the trailer doesn't even show her. So I'm not worried that the trailer was thin because they didn't have the material. I think they just purposely were like, the fun franchise is back. Here's the fun trailer.
It was the fun. And then it was also the sort of rip from the headlines about the breakups.
Yeah. And I will say, leaning on the Alexia and Todd stuff is rough in context of what we currently know when they're sitting on the beach and talking about how their love is real, which, like, I'm happy for them, truly and honestly. But I'm not going to feel that bad for Alexia when she's crying about it. I'm just going to be like, okay, that's awesome. I'm sorry for you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but I don't really, all of the women on Miami are consistently great TV. Mm-hmm. My only qualm is that after 4 years, my national nightmare is not over because Adriana is still not holding a mojito. And I'm mad about it, but I don't really care, but I do care.
Right.
Like, Andy was on Watch What Happens Live like a year ago and he was like, does it really matter? Yeah, it does matter.
Well, it also affects their paychecks, honestly. It affects how much we see that there's
personal. If it didn't matter, why don't you just give them all mojitos?
Right.
There's something behind the scenes that I don't understand, but it's sad. Because even though I don't even like Marisol that much, she deserves a mojito too. She's got solo scenes. Adriana's got solo scenes. Kiki, I think they should have 9 mojitos. And I think that the only reason they don't are reasons I don't quite understand. That probably have to do with the fact that Miami doesn't have the budget that Beverly Hills does.
Yeah, I think that's probably correct.
But you know what? I am really excited about it. I think Stephanie seems like a good delusional housewife in a good way. Mm-hmm. She kind of reminded me of Diana Jenkins, but like a more fully formed version of that in the trailer.
Yeah, it's sort of like what they thought they would get with Diana Jenkins.
Yeah, because I think on paper, Diana was a good casting.
Totally.
And on paper, Stephanie is too. But in execution, she looks kind of good. Like, I think she's going to be a bit of a villain. I have a feeling there's going to be viral tweets about how this evil woman replaced Nicole, but that would be a positive for me because Miami doesn't have a ton of villains. We have Larsa. I would love a little villain action going on here. I think she looks really interesting. I think that the rifts we're going to see between Julia and Adriana, Julia and Gertie, I think that there was some Lisa Larsa. Those are all feuds that really excite me because they're kind of feuds where I'm like, I don't think I'm going to root for any of you. And I love those.
Right.
It very feels, yeah, like Salt Lake City. I'm never really rooting for someone, but I'm enjoying myself. I'm really.
It's also like the Salt Lake City cast in that, like, they will mix it up, but, like, they're also probably eventually fall back to their natural order.
I'll always come back.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, I'm really excited for that. I missed Miami. I'm annoyed that it took so long for them to return. I mean, they finished filming in December, and I've been sitting here like a dog, rabidly waiting. I am so excited, and I think it'll be nice that they get the summer to themselves, because the last season that they aired Miami, it was one of 4 Housewives shows airing, and so it was really, you know. I hope that people who don't watch Miami, and I don't know how those people exist, but they certainly do, I hope that this summer they give it a chance because it's such a great show.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, like, Miami needed this moment that, like, it was because it's been this kind of rocky return since it came back. It was like on Peacock for 2 seasons, and then it would air like 6 months later on Bravo, and then last season aired on Bravo. But you, like you said, there were so many airing at the same time. It got, like, they were never on Watch What Happens Live that season. It was kind of this weird thing. So for it to have its moment in the sun is really important. And I think people will jump into it if they haven't, because they'll be starved for Housewives content and they'll see how great it is.
It's so, I'm really excited for that. My only concern, and I'm not too concerned about it, is that it would get too high in its own supply. And so I guess, for example, like a season that would, I would say, it was similar to that, is like New York season 12 or Potomac season 6, where it kind of becomes a caricature of itself.
Right.
And those are still good seasons, but they're ones where it's like you've peaked and now you're starting to fall. And I'm not that worried about it. The trailer made me a little worried about it because I was like, this feels like they don't totally get the ethos of Miami. But I don't think that that is reflective of the ladies. I honestly just think whoever edited the trailer had something in mind
that didn't really
not reflective of the season. Because like we said, there's so much drama that was not in the trailer. And so I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah.
That is my concern. Do I think it'll be a perfect season? It's got a lot to live up to. Like season 5 of Miami was
perfect.
A really great season. And I don't think it needs to be that good. I certainly doubt it will be the worst season of the show. And I certainly doubt it'll be worse than some of the other Housewives that have been.
No, that's honestly
Miami's
impossible.
A consistent, well-oiled machine. So
yeah,
I'm really
excited. No, last thing I'll say is that we did get the Dr. Nicole cameo that sort of also like alleviate some of that worry too. Like she's still in the mix, even if it's just going to be one lunch or something like that. Like I'm happy we see her. And that means that like she's right there, you know?
Yeah. So I'm excited about that too, even though Nicole was never my favorite housewife. I was never worried when she left the show. I think it's going to be fine without her. I do appreciate that she came back specifically to talk about Stephanie. I'm like, that is nice. I want her to get a little in the mud more. It was always my criticism, I guess. So I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. Was I thrilled that she had more screen time in the trailer than Adriana? No. But I have no worries that Adriana...
It all comes back to Adriana.
I'm genuine. If Adriana has no fans, something bad happened to me. Like, I love Adriana.
I love her too.
She's one of my top 5 housewives on the network, even though she's not a housewife. So it's been rough for me because she brings it no matter what. And she is humble because honestly, coming back as a friend of, it does take a bit of humility. So I appreciate that she has that.
I agree.
I don't see Kyle Richards coming back as a friend of ever.
No. All right. Speaking of Kyle Richards, let's jump over to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which just finished airing. They have not started filming. They're clearly in contract negotiations right now because there have been multiple conflicting quote unquote reports that have quote unquote leaked from various people. One says that Erica is being demoted and they're dropping other people and then they're going to bring people back. The latest one says that most of them are coming back and they're looking for a couple new people. I put no weight in any of those kind of thing. How did you feel when after part 3 of the reunion aired a couple weeks ago?
So I was kind of calm about it because after all of that hubbub, Garcelle left in a very not super dramatic way. I was like,
right.
Oh, you made it through the whole reunion? That was not what I was expecting.
Me neither.
And I don't... Okay, so I'm going to choose my words carefully. I didn't totally think it was a big deal. Like, I think she could have taken the photo, but I also understood her perspective and I was like, okay, sure. But I didn't totally understand how upset the fan base got in the reaction. I was like, guys, this was not... Look, Beverly Hills does not deserve people melting down about it. It was a pretty calm, milquetoast season. And I don't even say that in a hateful way because I like Beverly Hills even when it's pouring. I didn't think it deserved all that. I was like, you know what? Garcelle quitting makes sense because honestly, a 5-season run is a lot. And I think she was always a housewife with an expiration date simply because she came into the show with a lot to lose and she's not willing to do it. And I don't blame her for that. You have to be careful when you're a housewife who comes in with a reputation. I mean, you can be Lisa Rinna and completely change your reputation for good or for bad. Or you can be Eileen and Garcelle and come in and kind of help build that second act and then leave when you feel it's right. So I don't know. I think Garcelle leaving like that, I kind of enjoyed it because I was like, okay, this is kind of a messy housewife moment for you. That's awesome. But it also makes me kind of sad because I think she left on such a sour note.
Yeah.
And I really did enjoy Garcelle for her run.
Me too.
And I enjoyed this season. Like, I didn't think the season deserved such negativity, but it ended in a kind of sour way that I think postseason has been very doom and gloom in the fan base. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, like, in the Garcelle of it all, it's like, I loved Garcelle for her entire run as well. And I can also admit that She left that reunion when her feet were being held to the fire over a comment that she should have expected to get heat for, you know, and it was like sort of one of the bigger moments in her run that she was being held accountable for that. And she, again, I love her. She couldn't really handle it. But I also on the flip side could see I'm like, Sutton did not support her in the way that her friend should have supported her at that reunion, I would say. And you could see Sutton, you know, kind of maybe seeing that Garcelle was one foot out the door, so she sort of stepped in the other direction. I could see that. But so I see both sides of Garcelle's sort of exit stunt. But I you know, I don't know. I feel I also don't subscribe to all the negativity around the show right now. At the same time, would I take a mix up a little bit? Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've been talking a lot on this show. Listeners are probably tired of hearing about it, but like, I do think that it would be so great for Kyle to take one season off and just like figure some of her big things out in life. Like, I just think that she feels so much pressure to figure it out on camera and with people weighing in. And like, if she took herself out of that for 1 year, it would do such good things for her. Otherwise, I'm like, Dorit, keep her, because we got the divorce announcement amid the contract negotiations. As per usual, every year we get something around this time. Last year was the separation announcement. I don't really also play into the Erica hate. Like, I think that Erica's great on the show. I like watching her personally. Sutton, keep her. But like, I'm Bose, keep her. But I'm like, I would like some really exciting new faces here. I just don't know who they are.
Absolutely. So I agree with you that there needs to be new blood. Part of the thing about Garcelle leaving is I was sad about it, but it also excited me because I was like, someone needs to leave. And I feel like Bravo has been gun shy with Beverly Hills because it's well rated.
Yeah.
I kind of appreciate it. I was like, yeah, they were never going to fire Garcelle, and rightfully so, but her leaving does open that door. I personally think, I do not say hate, but I subscribe to the Erica needs to go conversation. So I think that's where we differ. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that I think Erica has a lot of disdain for making good television. I think she did make great television in seasons 11 and 12 against her will, and she really killed it. Great villain arc, super loved it. The last couple of years, she's kind of gotten back to normal, and normal for Erica was never my favorite thing because, like, this season, her being like, Sutton's such a bad friend, like, yeah, girl, and she's the one keeping the show running. Or I don't know. I think,
but I like that she called out Sutton because nobody else was really willing to really do that. Like, Sutton needed to be called out because that was her. Yeah, she was doing that season after season, you know?
I agree that she needed to be called out. I guess I just feel that Erica
wasn't the one.
I don't know if the message worked. I kind of liked it and I kind of disliked it. I didn't even have an issue with Erica being on this season because I do think she should have been there. I think going forward, we lost Garcelle, so we're losing one person from that faction.
Got it.
I think losing Erica, because she was also the glue between Dorit and Kyle, and she really didn't want their drama to exist, which is good for the natural stasis of the show. I think if she hadn't been there, it would have gotten uglier, which, let's be real here, we're gluttons for drama. It would have been good. So I think they need to cut one more. I don't disagree with you that Kyle would be a good choice simply because she's going through the motions in a lot of ways. So I completely agree with what you said about that, that if they gave her a season off, it would do wonders for her, but also the show's ability to breathe.
Yeah. You sort of take the pin out and it's sort of like, all right, what happens? You know? Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking more, I don't want to say realistically, because God, I think you really hit it. But I guess thinking more logically, I don't think Kyle would do that.
Yeah, I agree.
And if we're going to get rid of one, to me, Erica is the easy choice. Dorit and Sutton are both great villains, but also they offer sympathetic arcs. I think I'm not super sympathetic to Dorit, but I love her on the show because I think she brings a lot of intrigue. I love her voice. I love her little dramas.
Me too.
And I love the feud with Sutton. I think that's one of the best feuds we've gotten in a long
time. So good. It was such good TV.
I just love that. Those two and Bose, I think she didn't have a great or bad season, but I think she could really shine in the second season. She had a good freshman season, and I think next year's make or break. But yeah, I guess if we're deleting one of Kyle and Erica, I personally would delete Erica, but I actually think that what you're saying is true. And I think a season without Kyle could probably do some really great things. But I think, do you ever think Kyle would leave? Like, to me, I think they'd have to drag her out kicking and screaming. Yeah. But she's currently on her press run that she does every year, where she's like, I just don't know if this is right.
I know. Okay, I know. And I actually really like Kyle. So it's like, it's not like I would be mad if she stayed. I just think that, like, we've been going in circles for 2 years now. And, like, you know, she had this, like, big moment on the reunion this time where she, like, talked about the Morgan stuff and talking to her daughters. And I was like, isn't this just kind of, like, a half a step forward from what she told us at last reunion? Like, it wasn't as relevant.
Right around it.
Right.
But we're never just going in. And don't get me wrong, I think that's an interesting part of the Kyle experience that she uses.
Absolutely.
But if you really read between the lines, I think she said more than people give her credit for. However, if that's all she's going to say and that's all she's willing to do, I don't blame her. But I do agree that maybe some time off, because yeah. I get what she's saying. Oh, you don't want to hurt your family. That's totally fine. However, if you want to be on a reality show, you're kind of, you can have the Tamara Judge experience where you ostracize yourself from your kids because you want to create good TV. It's not an easy job.
No, but also, Alec, her family was on another reality show up until yes. last spring. So it's like, what are you protecting? You. Like,
there's a lot of take being eaten, and you know, it's just not.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me.
Can I ask you about something that I've been throwing around to about people that could potentially join? That I had an idea.
I want to hear this because I'm actually.
Would you be down for an addition of Tracy Tudor from Million Dollar Listing and Crystal Minkoff, who are already friends? Tracy has a built-in feud with Dorit. Crystal obviously has some built-in animosity with some of the other women and connections. What do you think?
So I've never watched Million Dollar Listing, but I think Tracy's interesting and I'd be happy to see
her. She's good TV.
I like that she was kind of vicious and mean on that Jeff Lewis when she talked about Dorit. I was like, that's really good because Beverly Hills has struggled for a long time. They have a lot of passive players who kind of want to throw a dart and be like, oh my God, where did that come from? So I think we need someone more assertive and aggressive. So yes, I would be in.
And I think Tracy filming with men for 10 years and the kind of the directness of that and her career actually helps that for her.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't know anything about her, but I'm willing to see her. I think she seems cool. So I would be down for that. And I do think she was very clearly campaigning for it. And good for you, girl. Crystal, I'd be fine with her coming back, but I think that she'd be taking a spot from. Okay, so let me reword this. Crystal is a very safe bet. She would not be the worst housewife you could choose, but she would also not be the best. I think that I would like to see them take a bigger risk because I honestly.
She could be a friend.
Crystal, and I think she was okay in her three seasons. But I kind of agreed with the decision to move forward without her last. I don't know. I'm neutral on Crystal. I would not be able to come back. But I think if she came back, maybe a friend of is better for her.
I agree with that.
But then I think Beverly Hills does a lot of relying on friends. So you get into that.
Yeah.
If Crystal returns, that is fine with me. If Erica left, I don't want, because we have five housewives returning right now. So if we got Tracy and Crystal, that's already seven.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
I want to see two new housewives minimum.
Me too.
I don't know if there's eight. Like, let's bring 2 to 3 new women.
I love a big cast. I love a big cast.
I think Beverly Hills has always benefited from having a lot of faces because, like I said, they're a really passive group. So sometimes it takes one person to light a match and you just kind of see who gets struck and gets caught on fire. So yeah, I don't know about Crystal. I'm not going to campaign for her to return, but if she does return, I really don't have any issues with that. I do like her. And I think Sutton needs an ally. So Crystal would be a good one. And yeah, I don't know. I want to see new faces, though. My thing with Beverly Hills is every year people are like, should we see blank or should we see blank? I don't want to know who these people are when they join my shows. I don't want Tori Spelling, not because there's anything wrong with her, but because we already know her. I don't want some random wife of a celebrity who we know, kind of like Hilaria Baldwin. Don't get me wrong. She seems crazy in a good way. But I guess I'm saying I kind of want people who have nothing to lose by being on Housewives. For example, Sutton and Dorit. Those were great castings because they were people who have the Beverly Hills image in a lot of ways, but we would never have heard of them before the show.
Right.
And I think that's really good casting. I think Sutton is one of the best castings we've gotten in modern Housewives. I think she really emulates a lot of what they should be looking for in Beverly Hills. And I think Dorit too. I mean, because Beverly Hills, people always get mad about Dorit being a grifter or having no money. But is that not Beverly Hills living above?
And like, they're both outsiders in different ways coming into this town.
Dorit's all the way from European Connecticut.
Yeah, and like, Sutton's the Southern belle, right, with a lot of money.
I want them to go outside of the box and cast people. I don't care if they have money. Truly, I just want them to have great personalities and I want them to be interesting. But I really hope that we see minimum two new diamonds. I think what they should probably do is cast three new women. And if that's one of them is Tracy, that's great because she does seem interesting. And, you know, let them film the whole season and see who gets the diamonds in the end. And if they all three deliver, give them three diamonds. I don't care if that means eight.
Right.
The truth is you can have a 5-person cast that kills it and you can have an 8-person cast that kills it. But Beverly Hills has never proven that they can do 5 people.
No, that wouldn't work.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit the upsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so let's move on. The other show that finished airing earlier this year that is not filming right now is The Real Housewives of New York, which was notably not mentioned in the press release today from Bravo, where they announced new shows and they announced what was, you know, confirmed for a new season. Real Housewives of New York was nowhere to be found on that press release. That does not mean it's canceled. It just means that they're still figuring it out and it's sort of a long ways away. The whole cast just hung out for Jessel's birthday the other night without Brynn. What are your thoughts? I don't think we need to spend too much time on this, but...
Absolutely. So I was really surprised just with the press release because I'm like, why are you showing us that you're sweating? You know? I would be really floored if it's not actually coming back. I think it is coming back.
It is, yeah.
I think it's kind of confusing they didn't put it in the press release. And to be honest, wouldn't it shock me if it was just an oversight? You know, PR people don't, they might have accidentally just left it off the list, or they might have been thinking in terms of other things. Almost every show on that list is filming or about to be filming. So that should be noted. Salt Lake City filming, Orange County just wrapped. Beverly Hills will be filming soon, and Potomac is filming. I would not be ringing the alarm. And I didn't even like the New York reboot. So quite frankly, if they didn't bring it back, I'd be like, okay, moving on. But it's coming back, in my opinion. I saw that they all hung out, and I think that's nice for them, but I really hope it's not their fault. I just hope that Bravo mixes it up a little next season.
They have to.
I think they have potential. I think Jessel, Aaron, and to some extent, Uba and Sai are people. Oh, and what's her name? Raquel. I almost said Rebecca. I'm not talking about her.
I was about to say, if you say Rebecca, I'm kicking you off this podcast.
I mean, I have hot takes, but they're not that on fire. So no, she probably could have been a good housewife if she was willing to talk about things that I'm not willing to talk about, you know. So, yes, I think Jessel and Aaron especially are two women who could have really fit in on a housewife show. I think if you had tossed them into season 13, the show probably would have never been rebooted is what I'm thinking.
Right.
So I like them as housewives. I'm not saying I like them as people. Big misconception people get. I get what people's criticisms of Aaron are, but I'm like, she's delusional and she's funny and she brought mezcal to the United States. Like, that's good. Let's keep her on. Mezcal is really funny. I didn't like that she took a step back this season, but I think with a right cast who pushes her buttons, she could be a great housewife.
Mm-hmm.
So my real thoughts about New York, I kind of agree with you. There's not a lot to say about it because they've never given us much to talk about, unfortunately. But I think that I don't think Bravo wants to give up on them. And I think that's a good thing. Because I truly think that they made such a big stink of everything. And, you know, if you're going to reboot New York, let's try to make it good. Let's not give up.
Totally.
I want to keep half of these ladies and I want to see a lot of new ones. Let's bring in a ton of new faces. I think they should take their time with it to make sure it's right. But I also think that they probably will be filming this summer. Like, I think New York, old New York, did a lot of filming very end of summer through fall.
Yeah.
And I think that was a great schedule for them. I loved seeing the first couple episodes. Oh, we're in the Hamptons. Now it's fall. And now we're celebrating Christmas. That was such a good schedule.
Such a good arc. Yeah, such a good arc.
And I really would like to return to that. So I think that's probably what they're waiting for. I don't remember when the last season filmed. I think it filmed spring, which was a fine schedule. But I think New York shines when you get to see Fashion Week and when you get to see the Hamptons and when you get to see New York start to get colder and people put on their pea coats. Because New York, more than any Housewives franchise, really relies on the atmosphere of the area. Mm. And I want to see people take messy phone calls on the street while wearing a coat and their dog is in the street and we're like, is she going to get run over?
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's a lot of potential there. There's so many awesome, energetic people in New York. Just because they didn't pass them the last 2 years doesn't mean they can't find them.
Yeah, there's no reason why New York City can't have a good Real Housewives franchise. That just makes no sense to me. It's crazy. You have to imagine that Aaron or Sai honestly, maybe not Jessel, have friends that would work on this show.
Oh, for sure. Or enemies.
Jessel moved to New York for this show.
Bring in an enemy of one of them.
Yeah, like, or people in their circles. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't touch on this yet, but I think Brynn is gone, probably.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, she's been going on in her little interviews about how she spends more on DoorDash than she made on Housewives, which, okay. And no one likes her on the cast. And she did cross that point where she stopped being a housewife that is like, oh, she's so awful, but wow, what a good watch. Like, mm-hmm. She did kind of cross into the territory where I'm worried for people who are around her. I'm worried for her. But I don't, you know, so I don't think she's coming back because I think that was a huge liability at the end of last season. Mm. I think they should cut one or two more. I personally, this is my hot take, would cut Jenna. I know she has a huge fan base. I know people are super impressed by her showing up in a bathrobe. I personally don't find that super entertaining. But if some people do, I can deal with it. It's not like she ruins my time. She's very harmless.
Right.
I think they need to. She's not, I think Raquel brings what Jenna brought, but better. You can't have
I agree.
Two Carol Radzwills on the cast. You need one.
I think Jenna could be a friend potentially, but I would
be happy to see her at two or three events a season.
She doesn't need an apple.
She does not need an apple. She's not even taking a bite out of it. But yeah, let's cut two to four of them. Genuinely would be fine if you just kept Jessel and Aaron and cast five new women, but that's a big undertaking.
I think you keep Psy too, and
yeah, I think Psy is fine.
Or Raquel too. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So like that's the thing. You could keep those four and I'm totally good with it.
Yeah.
You could even keep Uba. I just think they need to bring in a lot of fresh faces.
Yeah.
And I want them to lean away. This is like my last thought on it. I want them to lean away from aspiration and lean more into desperation. I don't think aspiration has ever been the ethos of this franchise. I'm not watching these shows and thinking, God, I wish I were them. I want to watch them and think, this is so fun or this is so entertaining. It's interesting to me that when they cast Salt Lake City, yes, these women are very cool, aspirational people in many a way, but they didn't cast them with the hook of these women are so cool. You want to be them. But they do that with New York. And that's not Housewives to me. That's all.
Yeah.
So I think they lean more into messy people and messy things. And I guess I just hope that the cast starts to feel less like people on a work retreat and more like friends.
Yeah, which totally.
You know, takes time. And, you know, if they're hanging out off camera, that's great. A good thing.
Real Housewives of Potomac wrapped a season pretty recently. We're back to filming. We know that Giselle, Ashley, Stacey, Wendy, and Kiana are back. There's no Mia. There's no Karen, obviously, unless potentially at the very end of filming, if she gets out early. The reunion was so good to me that that in itself, like, sort of revitalized my feeling about Potomac, honestly. Like, I just was, like, particularly Giselle and Wendy, they unlocked something sitting on opposite couches at the reunion for me, where they really kind of, that was the dynamic they should always have. They don't have Robin there. They don't have Candace there to distract them from it or to sort of, like, have them double down and make it too serious. It is not that serious between them, and I love that they got to that point, and I'm so excited to get more of that next season. Even Wendy and Ashley, like, I thought that was kind of good too. Obviously Stacey had her big moment, and, like, I'm so excited to get more from her and to sort of, they're clearly going to hold her feet to the fire for the TJ thing, at least at the beginning of the season. I'm excited about Potomac generally, and I hope they can find maybe one or two new women to sort of fill it out, but I'm excited. What about you?
So I agree that the reunion was a lot better than it had any right to be. It should have been a dud. It was like they had the cards against them, you know?
Right.
Aaron not showing up. It was a lot of fun, and Potomac has struggled being fun over the last two or three
years. Exactly. It should be funny.
There was an aura of misery that just, it was in every crevice of that show for a while. So I'm glad that they kind of found a way to get back to levity. But I also think that getting back to levity, they kind of lost the stakes for a while. So I'm like, this last season was a good reset. It was cute. But I believe they're better than that. They can do more than cute. So
I was just talking about the reunion.
To see what they bring. So I'm a huge Giselle fan. Even when people were cutting her head off, I really have always liked Giselle. I think she's just one of the most telegenic people that's ever been on Housewives. She really understands the franchise to the point where I think she'd be such a great behind the scenes. Like, there's a few people I think that about her, Heather Gay, Tamara. There's just some people who really understand the art form that is Real Housewives. So I love Giselle, and I'm really glad that she gets to have this one season without Karen, which is kind of a big make or break moment for her. I'm excited for that. I honestly have never been the biggest Karen fan. I'm not worried at all about how these women will move on without her. She has not been the leader of the show in the actual show that she is in promotional materials for about 4 years. She's kind of been coasting, you know? Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just think they will not sweat in her departure. I think they're going to be totally fine. I agree with you that Wendy had a good reunion. And I'm typically kind of mixed, leaning negative on Wendy. But I'm like, if you can bring this kind of energy all
exactly.
the time, there's definitely more to watch. I don't like when Wendy takes herself too seriously, but I understand why she does. I want to see her laugh more. And I want to see Wendy. I don't want to see her pretend to make a YouTube show. I want to see fun. I want to see Giselle go on dates and stuff like that, which we're seeing on Love Hotel and I love. I want to see Ashley be Ashley. So I want these women to take this moment and really challenge themselves to be the best version of themselves. When I say that, I don't mean like best version of themselves, like morally. I mean, you know, for TV.
On the show.
Bear it out.
Yeah.
And of course, Kiarna, congrats on getting grandfathered in for a second season. I truly have no dislike for her, but it is really funny that she's getting another season basically by default because she didn't do anything last year, which I'm not going to say is totally her fault. She did film most of the season as a friend. But I hope she can bring it. I think she's kind of calm and nice to watch sometimes.
I like her confessionals a lot, personally. I just like, I'm drawn to sometimes the energy she brings.
There's a good, boring housewife. I like Charisse. And she's, I would never be like, oh, Charisse.
Yeah, I was never drawn to Charisse, yeah.
No, I mean, and most people weren't. So I'm a big Charisse girl, but like, I think that I can't throw rocks in my glass house. Kiarna right. does adopt a similar energy where sometimes I'm like, you're really boring and I kind of like you. Like, I feel like if I ran into her in line at a coffee shop, we'd have a good 2-sentence banter before we just stop talking and enjoy each other's presence. I like Kiarna a little bit, and I have no issues with her coming back because she's so peaceful. Like, what can, mm-hmm. I'm never going to tank a show, but I'm, That means there's only how that is.
You didn't talk about Stacey.
Oh my God, how did I forget Stacey? The best one. The best one. I'm so disgusted with myself. But still, I rise. I love Stacey. She's so great. The best casting that Potomac has had post OG. 100% to me. I mean, Candace was a great cast too, but
Monique was pretty good too. I liked Monique.
Yeah.
I was Team Monique back in the day, so
really well.
Yeah, I was
kept myself out of that because I didn't want to get killed. But no, I think Monique was a good casting too for the.
But yeah, I agree. Stacey's amazing. Stacey's like a huge star.
So funny,
yeah.
And I'm kind of scared of her in a way that I find really awesome. I love her newscaster voice. She was made for prime time, and she's really, really a lot of fun. She just. I'm so excited that she's coming back, and I'm so excited that she's getting held to the fire. I don't think she's going to sweat. The thing about Stacey is I do kind of think she lied about everything, but in a way where she kind of knew it. She was just having fun. What happened to like being a little bit of a liar? She's just lying. It's not telling lies about Giselle. Lies about herself.
Whatever happened to being a little bit of a liar? That's the question I ask myself every day.
I'm so excited for her to be back. And I totally hope, and I'm no doubt that there will be a couple new housewives. I mean, so that's 5 women returning. So there's going to be a few new ones. I hope that they bring in some delusional ally of Stacey, who, if I had to guess, would probably turn on her somewhere between the first cast strip and the second. And I hope they bring in someone who comes in pretending they know tea about Karen or something. Like, bring in people, because I know that they're preparing for Karen to return. So bring in someone who, when Karen comes back from jail, she wishes she was back in jail. Like, fuck this.
Yeah, just bring in like somebody who worked at one of the establishments.
Bring in Erica Wiles, that random woman who was always being talked about and Ray had a crush on.
Right.
Do something crazy.
Bring Blondie from Georgetown or whatever it was.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good season to reset things.
I agree.
You very rarely in Housewives get the opportunity to see what your show can do without the matriarch, because this is a really rare scenario. This is what New Jersey could have done and chose not to do 10 years ago when Teresa went to jail. Of course, Karen going to jail is a very extreme. Like, it's kind of what we were talking about with Beverly Hills. They've never gotten the chance because Kyle's never removed herself from the situation.
Right.
But you're getting a really exciting chance to what your show can kind of be like and what dynamics people can kind of come into now. And if the reunion's anything to go by, I think it'll be a really positive movement forward for a lot of them.
Yeah, it's almost like you bringing up Kyle in an alternate universe. It would have been like if Vanderpump had stuck around, but Kyle had left the show. You know what I mean? Because Giselle is really the alpha, and Vanderpump was really the alpha in that show. So like, it's without the beta, and Karen's not a beta, but like she doesn't drive the story as much as Giselle. She's not like the big producer kind of, right?
Well, I've always thought of Giselle as the Kyle and Karen as the LVP in terms of how they're received by the fans. But I agree with you that in terms
in
of
actuality
on the show, Karen has never controlled the group dynamic at all. Mm-hmm. And Giselle has always. But yeah, so I think that will be really interesting. I think it's going to be a really exciting season. I'm not saying it's going to be good, bad, or whatever, because I haven't seen a single thing. But I think it's going to be a really exciting one because it's just so many unknowns. Mm-hmm. And I love when Housewives doesn't play it safe. I know they didn't have a choice, but I love that this season is a forced to not play it safe.
Yeah.
I love we're getting.
And they jumped back into filming, basically. They waited like a month and a half, and like they just went for it. And like that shows confidence to me in what they're going to deliver. So I think that's great.
I'm just really happy they did that. The thought of waiting for Karen really did not work for me. It's nothing against Karen. I truly don't think she's a bad housewife or anything. I don't think anyone should have that power over filming. I think we're going to get into Jersey when we get into it, but there's a reason Jersey ended up the way it did.
Yeah.
And I don't think you should ever do that, especially not for Karen. I mean, quite frankly, they will be fine. They've already proven that. Mm-hmm. And I hope it's a great season, if anything, so that we don't have a full season of people being like, we need Karen back.
Right.
And she gets out of jail. She will be back. But I don't want people to feel like we need her. Like, I want her to come back and be like, oh, I have a lot to do when I get back into this group, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think any housewife is at their best when they don't feel super assured in their role. And I think we haven't seen Karen in that role since season 4, maybe. So
yeah,
I'm really excited to see that. This is really exciting. I'm loving all the little snippets, but I hope we don't get too much filming tea. I feel like there's been a lot.
Yeah, I don't like, I hate getting the leaks. I hate it. Speaking of leaks, Alec, I feel like we've been getting a lot. We have like a couple big hints about what next season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City might focus on. We have the Bronwyn stuff about like her identity theft thing from 2021. We have, you know, Whitney just shut down rumors that she was shutting down her beauty brand. We had Meredith shutting down rumors that she was suspended from filming after going off on Britney. So like we've had a couple of like big moments during filming that like perhaps hint at what's happening, which I feel I have mixed feelings about. But again, this is a group that I will always have faith in. And last season was such a landmark season that like, it's going to be amazing. Even if it's not as perfect as season 5 was, it's going to be amazing. There's no question.
Yes, none at all. I would never worry about Salt Lake City because I won't worry until they give me something to worry about. I don't like the leaks and I don't like that they're coming from a specific little person who I'm like, can you stop for 2 seconds? Like a specific fan page that just needs to stop. Everyone has a little bit of tea they don't spill because it's just classless. Anyways, I don't like hearing about leaks, but I do think Salt Lake City, the Bronwyn stuff, I mean, that was, I wouldn't say that was a leak as much as that was just, when I saw it at first, I was like, that's so absurd. The fans are really getting creative.
I think that came out via somebody personally.
100%. And I think when we watch the show, it'll be one of the Salt Lake City women are detectives. It's going to be, oh, is this true, Bronwyn? But also, who leaked this about Bronwyn? I mean, in season 2, we spent the whole Jin Shah arrest being like, who framed her? And it's like, so I love that about them. I think they're detectives.
Yeah.
I think Whitney has red hair now, and she's going to really don that Daphne personality and see what she can do. You know, Whitney and her little clues. So I'm excited about that. And I think the little clues we've gotten about the season point to the fact that it's going to be very feel-bad, dramatic television, which is always what I want from these ladies. I never want a season where I'm just laughing. I want murder mysteries. I want drama. I want to wonder, how did they film together? Because this is so ugly and nasty.
Yes.
Because they managed to make it work. So yeah, I'm excited about that too. Because I also think Bronwyn didn't really work for me completely last season because it was just not what we saw was not who I thought Bronwyn was. If this season she's going to have a bit of a villain streak, I'm like, this is the Bronwyn I can get down with, because I think that's more authentic to Bronwyn. I didn't expect random 2021 identity theft, but it's inspired, and I'm really happy.
We love the surprises.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really. I would have loved it even more if I had no clue. But I mean, I still am really excited about it, because I still kind of have no clue what's actually going to happen with that.
Me too.
I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited to see what's going on with the other women. I feel like we have a bit of a clue that Lisa and Whitney are clearly still on the outs, and it seems mm-hmm. like it's Meredith versus Whitney, which that's a fun... I love that. I haven't really ever gotten tired of that feud. I think it's fun. I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited to see more of Lisa and Meredith as a team, because it's just been... It's kind of interesting because we barely ever saw it before they fell out, but now we get to see it. I'm excited to see what happened between Meredith and Brittany, if anything at all, mm-hmm. or if that was all just... I mean, they did unfollow each other, as far as I know. That was the only confirmed part with the whole Meredith was suspended, which thankfully she rectified, because I was about to take myself down to Bravo headquarters and be like, please take me instead. I want Meredith on the show forever. I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited to see what's going on with Heather. I feel like Heather and Angie are the biggest question marks this season. I can't tell who they're good with. It feels like they could really be the big wild cards, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see Brittany again, whom I love dearly and who I hope and feel is possibly holding a snowflake. I think it's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think with Brittany, my reservation about her is that she could just be trying too hard in a second season. You know what I mean? Because she is aiming for that. In a way that, like, in her first season, it was like there was something a little bit like heartwarming about her desperation. And I'm scared that it will turn into like annoying desperation in the second season. But we don't know anything. So that's all speculation. And the other clue that I noticed the other day was that Mary posted a selfie with Lisa Barlow. So
the picture that changed the nation.
Yep.
Literally, when I saw that, I was like, wow. And it was beautifully unedited. Like, that's just what their faces look like. And I loved mm-hmm. that.
It was makeup free, all natural. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I just love when people let their hair down and just be themselves. I really like both of them as housewives, and I love them as enemies. And I think that we have never seen them be friends except for that one. What was it? Was it Vail? When in the middle of the night, they were walking around different people's rooms, handing them gifts.
Yes.
So that's the only time we've ever really seen them in cahoots. And it wasn't even on camera. Mm. So yeah, let's see them in cahoots. I have a feeling that selfie was taken in between half a season of fighting and another half a season of fighting. If they're actually friends this season, strike me dead.
Imagine if it's like Lisa and Angie are good, Lisa and Mary are good. And I don't know. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. But
Everyone on this cast loves Lisa. She's easy to hang out with. She's just easy to be around. She's the voice of reason.
There we go. I
mean, honestly, this is the only cast where you could say that and kind of mean it.
Right.
I actually think that Lisa might have a calmer season. She's had 2 years of getting punched everywhere.
Yeah, she kind of deserves one. Yeah.
Yeah, she does deserve one. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
I just love all of them.
Yeah, me too. So excited to bring them back now.
That could worry me about them is the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you could tell me the biggest feud of the season is Angie and Brittany. You could tell me the biggest feud of the season is Brittany and her dad. And I'd be like, okay, sign me up. Sounds awesome.
100%.
They are such workhorses. They have brought this network. They have proven that you can bring Real Housewives into the modern world with new casts. Like, I truly think that this Rhode Island show would not exist if not for the runaway success of these women. Mm-hmm. So love them so much. I love them all. And I hope that this season people can stop trying to take teams so much and just enjoy the chaos. They don't even take teams on this show. One week, Bronwyn is friends with everyone. The next week, her and her Bob are bobbing around because everyone hates her. One week.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It's remarkable.
So I don't know why people take it so seriously. Like, you should not be standing anyone too hard and being, I'm team Bronwyn, Angie, and Mary. I'm like, girl, they're not even on the same team half the time.
So it's going to be different tomorrow. Yeah.
The chaos, because it's so rare in this modern age that you get a group of women who, they're not in on the joke, but they're certainly not.
But they kind of are.
They're not sensitive, and they're not unwilling to play the game. And I think that
Yeah.
They make me really hopeful for the future of Housewives whenever I get to see Salt Lake City. I think not just the women, I think the production and editing on Salt Lake City is so interesting and it's so fantastic.
It's so creative
about Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. It is not just my favorite Housewives show, like it's genuinely my favorite show on TV when it's on. It's amazing. Can't wait for them. I hope they're back in September. They're the most well-oiled machine on Bravo. They've been airing in September for the last
churning it out.
So I'm hopeful that we will see ladies again by Labor Day.
All right, two more. Real Housewives of Orange County just wrapped filming. Started out the big. I guess we have heard a good amount, honestly, about this season in some ways. But like the first big thing was Tamra quitting during the first cast trip in New Orleans. She returned, as many predicted. We know that Gretchen is obviously part of the show, I think as a friend, I presume, but maybe she was going for an orange, because we also know recently that Katie skipped the cast trip to Amsterdam. But then she just posted this video the other day where it was like, she's back and better than ever or something, but filming already wrapped. So I'm not sure what that really means. Again, another cast that I have faith in. Like I thought that last season was amazing and they didn't change much other than adding Gretchen, correct? So, and taking away Alexis. So like, let's just keep going.
Also, I don't know if you know this, but this is the first season in Orange County history without a new full-time housewife, which is true no matter what.
That's crazy.
Isn't that it's really weird. Because
wow, that's a fun fact.
We got Tammy Knickerbocker, season three, Tamra, and that Quinn woman. Every single season has had a new housewife, which seemed true, but it's true. And this is the first time that they've never added one, which is really interesting to me. It's not super surprising because last season there were seven women and they returned, and Orange County has never been a huge cast show. But it's so interesting to me. I think it speaks a lot to what a good place the show's in. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. But I have a question for you, which is that if it seems this is true, what are your thoughts on the fact that they ended filming on the cast trip? Because I know there's a lot of people who have a lot of thoughts on that. And I have thoughts, but I'm curious what you think.
I've been liking that trend for the most part. I think that like the finale party and in recent years, generally speaking, and it's not that every franchise has nixed it, but it just feels like a little bit like almost like phony, like wrapping it up just for the sake of it being one final party. And then like, we're just going to unfurl that at the reunion in a couple months. Like I would rather end on an explosive cast trip moment. And then, because I had a whole episode with Brian Mullin about this, where like he argued that like the reunion is basically the finale now, or that's where they really hash out the rest of the season. And I think that's like, I think on Salt Lake, it's worked very, very well. I think on New York, it actually worked really well, like relatively speaking for that show right now. So I'm into it. What do you think?
I think it's case by case. Okay. So I did it on Salt Lake City season four. That made sense to me. Since then, I don't really like it. So I'm actually happy to hear that some people do, because genuinely, I'm like, you know what? Your perspective makes total sense to me. And I can see if that's what they're thinking too. I think you kind of nailed it, like that they want to end on a climax instead of calming down. For me, my thing is that I like returning post-trip and having the women kind of discuss everything again and break into their little groups and be like, this was said about this, this was said about this. And then reuniting for a big finale party. I think it is something that I agree with you. The last few finale parties that we've seen on a lot of shows have been underwhelming. Like the last OC finale was a good episode, but the party itself I felt was underbaked. And I think about finale parties, I think OC. Like OC has had such fantastic ones. So season seven, we had Heather Dubrow's name change with the bow on the cake. That was two full episodes of just finale. Season eight was the Winter Wonderland party where there's this big, I don't even know what happened. I think everyone was mad at Gretchen. I feel like it was a great episode and it was pretty. So OC in the past has had these great finales. The past two finale parties have had a lot of build up for a lot of fallout that didn't really happen. So I can understand it. However, I guess while I agree with you, my hope would be instead of tossing the party away in general, they tried, let's make these more interesting. I mean, even in recent years, we've seen the finale party be really pivotal. Like New Jersey killed it. That was probably the one thing they killed last season.
Yeah.
Was finale dinner. That was TV. It really did feel like a reunion. I got it when Andy said that. I loved that. And I loved that they, but I don't know.
Potomac had a pretty good finale party too this past time with the dog.
That's true.
Yeah.
That it was good. A good finale. I think that ending on the climax can be tough because also if the women know, oh, the trip's ending on the filming is ending when the trip ends, I think it changes the way that the pacing is for them too. I felt like Salt Lake City ended in a weird place that was kind of dark. And I don't really use that word as much as some people. I don't think that was an issue. I thought it would have been nice if we got to breathe a little and then come back for a big finale. I thought it would have been nice if Beverly Hills post-trip, there was something to be said. I think the season, I think Garcelle would have ended in a better place with the group had the trip not ended with the show season. I think Sutton would have gotten a chance to have maybe a sit down with Erica. I think it's tough. Like, I think if you're going to end on the trip, they need to pace the production better. And it's a new concept, so maybe they just learned.
I had forgotten about the Beverly Hills one, and that didn't work also because that trip was such a flop trip. Like, nothing happened on that trip.
Yeah, like, oh, we're dancing in our things, and now the finale is
it? That made it feel like the season was petering out, like, on a bad note. And I can see what you're saying about season 5 of Salt Lake, where, like, so much happened in that, where you're like, wait, I want to see how they reacted to those. Because even, like, to those mean things they were saying about each other in the text messages, and, like, it felt, like, unresolved in a big way, specifically because of that game they played. And it was weird also because I feel like they had shown all this footage from that trip of, like, the next morning where they were all, like, pissed off and didn't want to talk to the cameras. But then on the show, we never saw any of that.
Oh, yeah.
Which was weird.
Salt Lake City is definitely held back by being only 16 episodes sometimes. I'm like, you guys could totally, they earned a order. But I do want to discuss Orange County specifically and why I'm saying this.
Yes.
Like we talked about, Katie wasn't on the trip. So if that's where filming ends, I think that leaves the season in a weird place. I believe that just because Tamara posted, like, that's a wrap. Maybe it was a wrap for Tamara. Maybe Katie still had to sit down with the person she's on the outs with. We know they love a little epilogue these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Orange County is generally under wraps. Like, we didn't know about that post-reunion scene until it aired. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was still a little bit of filming when they got home. But for me, knowing Katie wasn't on the trip kind of deflates me a little, because I'm like, what was there a huge confrontation before then? I am curious about it. I have no issues with them doing it. I just hope they did it right. And I think knowing Katie wasn't on the trip, I would have wanted a big finale party if she's really on the outs with everyone, where she comes back. It's very old school Housewives to be on the outs, miss like 4 episodes of group scenes, and then waddle back in like Danny Bob did, or like Vicky did at one point. I mean, there was a full season where Vicky could not film with the whole group without them being like, we hate you and we want you to die. So I think that, I guess I'm hoping it's not unresolved, because I don't want them to save it for the reunion when.
Yeah, this is
kind of the Orange County finale music if it's not playing over a sentimental scene.
This is a specific instance for sure that, like, well, first of all, I'm just, like, so anti people not going on a group trip. Like, we don't know what led up to that. But, like, especially if you're ending the season on that, you're right. Like, I mean, there's no way that Katie wasn't at least, like, filming a wrap-up scene. There's no way. If she posted that video, which, like, implied, like, that she was kind of taking the power back a little bit. I forget what the sound was, but it was some TikTok sound. I'm like, that implied to me that she had just filmed something probably that was like, you know, I'm getting the last word in or something. It could be
Denise Richards' moment when they had that little moment where she was in her confessional chair. So yeah, I'm interested to see that. And I think the other thing is, you kind of touched on this, it's possible that behind the scenes, Katie lost her orange and Gretchen stole it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem unlikely to me. I think the optics of that are kind of bad before being honest.
I agree.
But I don't think that's impossible. I thought Katie's most interesting role was kind of shifty liar. I think she was kind of, the reunion kind of showed that Katie's not just this new girl with a heart of gold. She's kind of got secrets. And I liked that. And I think Orange County is it's the Desperate Housewives of the show. Every new housewife comes with a secret. What's the new neighbors and what's her secret?
Mm.
Oh, I love that.
Me too.
I'm afraid that, it petered out. So I'm hopeful we get a lot of drama with that, and I'm hopeful that the Katie arc feels resolved within the season. I don't want to wait for the reunion to resolve whatever that is, and I'm sure she filmed something. I mean, my God, I don't see her being the kind to run away. And I think hopefully film something. Hopefully, maybe they wrapped on the trip, but they're watching the footage back, and they're like, "We need to wrap up Katie." They call back whoever's shooting with her. The rumors say it's Emily, and maybe they call her to have a little lunch. I would love that.
Me too.
But on a note of Orange County as a whole, I'm very excited. I love these women. I, even at its worst, Orange County has always been really charming to me because, once again, like I said, it has always felt like a primetime soap, Desperate Housewives to me. It's just got a great energy. I've never really given up on it. The worst seasons were still cute. Been really, the last two seasons have not just been okay. They've been really good return to form.
I agree. Heather,
Tamara and Shannon and Jen have been such great core housewives. Jen was just like, what a great casting. And I'm so excited for her third season. I'm worried for her every day, but I have no doubt she'll be bringing great television.
She's, I believe in her.
She's the ethos of an Orange County housewife.
Yeah.
When she quit, I was like, that is not going to be true. And so I'm thrilled that she was just being dramatic.
Me
People
too.
Can say what they want, but Tamara is the lifeblood of this show.
100,000%. Yep.
I'm so thrilled she's back. And I'm excited to see her little quitting moment because, I mean, there's no way they can't address it on the show. I think it's going to be a lot more humorously than it seemed.
Yeah.
I'm excited for what clearly was a bad season for Tamara because I think she's at her best when she's in the hot seat as a villain. Like, I love thinking about the trip to Bali when everyone turns on Tamara and she runs away. That is the Tamara moment. When she's in control, it's good. But Tamara's at her best when she feels the walls closing in on her.
Mm.
She's going to have a hellacious reunion, I have no doubt. Like, she's going to do some evil things in a good way. So
Can't
I'm really
wait.
Excited.
Can't wait. That. Yeah.
I'm really excited to see all of them. I don't even know what the dynamics could be this year. I mean, Nina and Emily, who I've always found to be lackluster in a lot of ways, I still don't have real issues with them. And I'm excited to see how they adapt to being these veteran housewives in this cast now.
Yeah, me too. Me too. All right, quickly, Real Housewives in New Jersey. There are no updates on what's
never
happening here. There never will be. You know, it's just there. It's not on pause. It's not canceled. They're quote unquote still figuring it out. And
so, but are they? Have they even?
I feel like Andy said that on his radio show like maybe a month or two ago, like when a caller called in.
To me that he says anything. I'm like, Mike, I would say nothing if I were. Because I will say, if they end up canceling it like in a few months after a year and a half of, oh, we're taking our time, that will be interesting.
My completely unfounded theory, just based on like the sort of trajectory of some of the leaks, I guess, that have happened, I kind of think that they maybe were going to go the Roni reboot route where it was like kind of clean house vibes. And I think that they walked that back personally. That's my theory.
Because actually recently, Melissa talked in an interview that she had heard about so many people to the point of like it was comical being auditioned. And you know, grain of salt with anything any of the women say, because they have more info than us at this point.
And they're playing a game too.
Probably true that they were calling around and saying, can we film something in New Jersey? I think the reception of the Roni reboot has really cooled Bravo's jets in a lot of ways. Especially in comparison to how people have reacted to the soft reboots on Orange County and Atlanta, which have been,
successful.
I think, always a mess, unfortunately. You never want to make a show antagonistic to people. And old Roni fans will always feel antagonistic to this new Real Housewives of New York because they feel like it replaced what they loved.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Jersey as a fan base is even more...
They're so scary. So passionate because they're like... It's family to them. I mean, my God. Some of these people who talk about Teresa and Melissa, I'm like, you do know that when you go to bed at night, they don't know who you are, right? Like, they're never going to know.
They don't know that. They don't know that.
I don't think they do. And so it's interesting to me. I think that if they had gone with a full reboot, it would have brought a lot of negativity from the get-go, which is not fair to the new women. What I think about the new New York, I still don't think it's fair to ever be like, act like these women stabbed Luann. Like, at the end of the day, they took it. So I think that Rhode Island, which has just been announced, clearly might be a spiritual successor. And I think that's a much smarter way. Because, like, let's talk about Potomac and D.C. That's a spiritual successor.
Yeah.
But do people talk about Potomac in comparison to D.C.? Like, fuck you for taking a spot from Mary Zil... Wait, what are their names?
Mary Amons. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, totally. It's a good point.
I don't think that anyone's ever thought that because they're so different. Rhode Island is new. But would you really do Rhode Island if you're also doing New Jersey and New York? I doubt it. I don't know what's going on. I think that they probably tried a full reboot. I think they absolutely tried to see, can we bring back just Teresa? Can we bring back just Dolores? Can we bring back Teresa, Melissa, and Dolores? I think they've probably tried everything. Mm-hmm. I think there's only a few housewives they never considered bringing back, like Jen Aiden and probably Danielle Cabral and like Rachel, just because they were newer. I don't know that they ever... I think they wanted to bring back Teresa, Melissa, and Dolores in some way.
Yeah.
Even though they couldn't bring back all three.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I feel like they've probably spent the last year. Like, I think the reason Andy's been vague is because he doesn't know as much as we don't know, because they've tried. And I think they've just come to a dead end every single time, which is unfortunate, because I think New Jersey, unfortunately, I don't think any show like in the Housewives franchise should really be dead forever, I guess. But I also question, is it worth bringing back a show that was already on its last legs just to try a couple more seasons and probably end up in the same place? Teresa was too big of a character to ever be a housewife, I felt. Like, whenever you're filming with Teresa and you're new, it doesn't feel natural. It's like, it's like when Traitors season one of the US had normies and celebrities.
Yeah.
It didn't work because it doesn't work. And that's how I feel about Teresa. Melissa, I mean, really, the pitchforks would never go away if they brought Melissa without Teresa back. So I think they've probably tried everything. And I think the reason we're talking here about no updates is because there will never be one. I think the Real Housewives is over, at least for the foreseeable future. Does this mean they won't bring it back in 7 years? No. Because you can never say never in the world of reality TV. Things always come back and they always find their way back. But this doesn't feel dissimilar to me to what happened with Vanderpump Rules either, where the ratings were so good that we thought, oh, there's going to be a way. And look what happened. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Rebooting it. But isn't that an easier reboot than this?
It is. It is. Because there's another part of the premise, which is the place.
And Lisa. She's still there.
Yeah. And Lisa. Correct. Yeah.
I just don't know.
So hot take on Jersey is that it's never coming back.
Do you think it's coming back?
I don't think it's going to take 7 years. No, I don't think it's another Miami situation. I don't.
Do you think it'll come back?
I think they will do a soft reboot of it somehow, some way. That is personally what I think, because I do think that like the talent is so important. They've invested so much into some of these women that like they want to keep. And I guess in the meantime, we'll see. I'm sure we'll see Melissa Gorga and Joe Gorga on Wife Swap. I'm sure we'll
100%.
See. Like they're the first episode, probably, you know, like
they're going to see Marge and her husband on that, too, for the record.
Like, yeah,
they're going to throw them on that show. Teresa's going to be on Next Gen NYC. At least one of them will be on Traitors at some point.
Totally.
I mean, this world of post-reality TV, everything is kind of mixed together. Mm-hmm. So I do think that's also a good way for them to soft launch. Yeah. Who is still popular with fans and who's grown too toxic? You know, like, let's see.
That's true. It's a good experiment. You're right.
They reached out to the audiences in a really neutral way. They were like, she's on Traitors. She ran away with the show and look at her now. So mm-hmm. I do think that you're right. I just don't know if that's going to end up with a New Jersey reboot or if they're going to figure out which housewives are good enough to get a completely separate show.
Yeah.
Because look at Luann. The network has clearly realized fans still love her and they've given her so many opportunities and none of them have been the Real Housewives.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, Alec, we have gone over time, but we have gone through the whole list. I think we've exhausted it, but you know.
God, what a day to talk about it. Seriously.
I know.
Yesterday or tomorrow would be so different, but.
So true. Oh my God. Well, Alec, I really appreciate you doing this. I love your thoughts as always, making me think differently about all this stuff. What are you recapping right now for Daily Beast?
I'm actually not fully recapping any of the shows.
Oh, okay.
I've written a couple about Atlanta, but I'm not fully recapping that. So I'm kind of just watching like a fan right now. And I've been recapping big moments on the Valley, but not fully the season, which is kind of nice. I'm taking a little. We're in a spring hiatus. We're in the calm before the storm. I know that by September, there's going to be 6 shows on air again. I don't know why.
Well, even with the Valley, though, Alec, it's like, it's such a dumpster of information every week that like you, it's good that you're doing the big moments because it picks out what's actually notable and important, you know?
Well, I still haven't watched last night's episode, but I'm very excited to because
that
is the second best cast on Bravo after Salt Lake City, in my opinion. So
it's
love
great.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And yeah. I did just write something about basically the scandals that have been like kind of blowing up the franchise, which is basically the Kenya stuff, Garcelle quitting. And I also wrote about like traitors and how outsized the reaction was to Danielle being a villain and kind of talking about what drama is too much for fans. So I am kind of in a moment of analyzing because, like I said, I don't really have a lot to say about the shows that are airing. But yeah, I think everything
I love that.
Good. Yeah. And I'm so excited for in a year from now to be discussing Rhode Island with some people. Like,
love it.
I really appreciate you having me to talk about this today. And I'm glad it was today, like I said, because it was so exciting to get to find out about Rhode Island and give first thoughts. I feel like it'll be a fun time capsule to look back on when that eventually...
We actually know the show. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's fortuitous timing. Well, Alec, thank you so much for doing this, and we'll have you back soon. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Have a nice day.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.
How many discounts does USAA Auto Insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/autodiscounts. Restrictions apply.